exotic locale than where you took some of the inspiration for some of these songs. I understand you recorded the CD in Austin. I'm just sort of curious briefly to know, you know, sort of why there versus Southern California, where you've obviously been based for some time. Just something about Austin or something about people that were available down there that wouldn't be available to you here? Or?
Good question, Duncan. It happened quite by chance.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's best friend, well, she grew up in Texas.
Oh, okay.
She's from Texas, and her best friend and the maid of honor at our wedding was close friends with a record producer in Austin. And just came about one day that we were talking, and she says, you know, Susan tells me she knows this guy that has worked with Willie Nelson. Now, you know, I never asked my producer, Stephen Doster, if he worked with Willie Nelson, but that was what got us all started.
Sure.
Was the idea that, oh, boy, we actually know somebody that knows somebody that worked with Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
So I sent a CD of demos off to see if there was any interest out there, and he liked the songs. He thought it was a great idea for an album, and said, why don't you come on out? And you know, I thought, my goodness, I mean, Austin to me is Mecca. It is the live music capital of the United States.
Sure.
And in a lot of my songs, I heard a pedal steel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want pedal steel, I think you have to go to Nashville or Austin to get the
real
thing.
McCoy. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it also sounded like a great vacation.
Well, there you go. It had everything then.
Yeah, it had everything.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Kirk, because I'm curious. It sounds like you really, you know, did have a certain vision for some of the songs. But I was also curious, you know, given the sort of breadth of styles on Dog Songs, were some of those, you know, just specifically written that way, but did some also get shaped in the studio or with a collaboration with the producer and the other musicians once you got down to Austin, or was it pretty clear, you know, which song was going to have kind of what feel, even as you wrote them?
I think the only one that really changed was It's a Dog's Life.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I wrote that, it had a much more folk, it was a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the last songs we recorded, and it was my thought that we really needed to rock it up a little bit more.
I see.
We had a couple rockers on the album, American Dog and The Dog Across the Street.
Sure.
You know, we're pretty up-tempo. But this one turned out to be the hardest rocking song on the album. When I say hard rocking, I wouldn't go as far as to say this is a hard rocking album, but
no, it's all relative, I believe.
It's all relative,
yeah, for sure.
But you know, the three chord type of approach to this song lent itself to
that kind of treatment.
To that kind of treatment,
sure.
So that's what happened with that. And in fact, it changed. That song changed over the course of time, because I had a finished version which I took and played for people in the area here, and mainly mothers, because I wanted to find out, is this album going to fly with children?
Mm-hmm.
Or with mothers? I knew it was going to fly with children.
Sure.
And they had always been such a good audience for me. But I wanted to make sure that there was nothing on the album that was going to create controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And the original lyrics of the If My Dog Can Talk had the dog farting in every chorus.
I see. Okay.
It's really pretty funny. I mean, anybody who's had a dog,
yeah,
you know, knows that
can relate.
Dog farts,
yeah,
are quite funny.
Sure.
Especially the look that a
and
dog
prevalent.
Gets on his face after he's had one and he smells it, he doesn't realize, where did that come from?
Yeah, right.
You know,
who's the
little,
culprit here?
A little confusion.
Sure.
So that was a line that cracked everybody up. But there were a couple mothers that said, well, you know, I take offense to the word fart. I really don't think that you want to put that on your album. So I completely rewrote the song. I went back to Austin and I rewrote it with new lyrics And sometimes I think that, you know, I shouldn't have bowed to the pressure. And it's a possibility on the next pressing of the album we might go back to the original.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's that brings me, actually, we just probably have another minute or two here, Kirk, but how many CDs are out there, or was there in this initial pressing? Because it sounds like you're getting close to a second one. Yeah,
yeah, we're close to selling out the first pressing of 1,000.
Great.
Which, you know, is pretty lucky for a guy that that doesn't go out and tour.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's nothing compared to a regular artist, but I'm surprised that anybody has found me. But if you type in dog songs in Google, I'm right there on the first page.
Yeah, well, no doubt, and here's at least one opportunity to let people know that to find out more and to get their own copy of Dog Songs, they can go to your website, dogsongs.net.
Net. Remember, it right. Rhymes with pet.
Right. Keep that in mind. And you kind of alluded to this, but are there? I guess you're not really in a position to tour. It sounds like when you say that, you know, can't really get out there and play live too much. Are there any opportunities, or will there be any at least select opportunities to hear Dog Songs live in the near future?
I do have a date coming up. It's August 2nd.
Okay.
I'll be performing at the Carlsbad Village Fair. They have a summer series.
Nice.
And it's outdoors in, you could call it a mall. It's not really like a mall, but it's like a very large Victorian-style house that, well, I don't know if it's really a house, but they've built a mall around a house in Carlsbad. It's a bit of a drive for y'all up there.
Well, I mean, people can listen, you know, and hopefully do listen to the show various places through the internet. So some may be closer than you think, but that's, you know, it's not that far of a drive for a chance to hear some Dog Songs live, especially.
Yeah, so. They're at the PCH and Carlsbad Village Drive.
Cool.
Pretty close, right off the 5, August 2nd from 1 to 2.
That's great. And again, we could probably find out more by also hitting your website at dogsongs.net. I'm sure there'll be some information about that.
I should get that up there.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. There will be. There will be. Perhaps by the time this airs, that will be up there. But anyway, and I guess just the last question or two here before we need to kind of, you know, move along. You know, you've got to go. It's and we do want to remind people that it's 6 something in the morning when we're conducting this interview. But anyway, what about Dog Beach Boogie as a video? I was fortunate enough to be able to see that. Has that been making any kind of rounds? Is that something people might bump into at some point?
Well, thanks for asking. We're real proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
We just went down with a good friend of mine, Stephen Iyer. He's an aspiring young filmmaker.
Okay.
And we shot that in an afternoon and spent a couple days editing it together. But it just has it's turned out so wonderfully that, and the beauty of the internet is that anybody, well, now with a cable modem to see something like that, but, you know, I'm getting responses from around the country, you know, from this video. Hope to send it to Animal Planet.
Sure.
And your viewers can see it. Remember, if you try to download it with a phone dial-up connection,
yeah.
Your computer will probably just stall on you.
Sure.
But if you have broadband, you can go to dogsongs.net and click on the video and see what we're talking about. But you know, it's just really it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
More than anything.
And you kind of alluded to this earlier, but do you anticipate that there may be additional Dog Songs in your future? I mean, is that still, when you write now, are you writing still Dog Songs? Do you write songs, you know, I would assume also with other topics and themes, or?
I do. You know, in fact, I had always planned for my next album to be called Human Tunes.
Okay.
After Dog Songs.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that I might have found my niche, and I should probably stick with it.
Cool.
I won't, like, not write a human tune that comes to me, but I'm working on a song right now called The Night Before Trash Day.
Okay.
Which is obviously a story of I let my dog out the night before trash day. I know it's not the greatest thing. Yeah, I mean, some people would be appalled, but I like to let my dog out and he'll go out and you know, knock over some trash, and then I go out behind him and pick it up.
Sure.
But I just imagine if I were a dog, I'd want, you know, I'd want to sneak out and knock over some trash on the night before trash day, and you know, so I sort of open the door and pretend like I don't notice, and
sure,
just sneak out and explore a little bit.
Making at least one dog's dream come true.
Exactly.
Well, cool, Kirk. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today, but I really, really appreciate you joining us on Talking Animals. And again, people would want to check out and get their own copy of Dog Songs, they can go to your website at dogsongs.net. It's Kirk Olson on Talking Animals. Thanks again, Kirk.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we want to thank Kirk Olson for speaking with us on Talking Animals. The website again is dogsongs.net. CD, of course, is Dog Songs. We'll hear one more song from that before we move into the next hour, officially, of our two-hour Talking Animals. I also want to remind you at this point that all opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. This is Duncan Strauss filling in for Serena Sharp, who's on vacation, but the Serena Sharp Show will return next week. And that said, I think we need to jump right into something else that's fun. Name That Animal Tune. And in fact, if you play your cards right, you could win a free copy of Dog Songs if you're this week's winner of Name That Animal Tune. So this is remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention. Hold on one sec. Let's see what we got here. KUCI.
Good morning, Duncan. This is Laura Tangi. You sent me the nice Dog Song CD.
Yeah, cool. Well, you're on the air, Laura, and because I was hoping it might be you. So did you have a chance to go see Kirk over the weekend?
I did. I was able to hear his whole performance, and I thought he was wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any favorite songs, either from the CD or from the show over the weekend?
Actually, I have three favorites off of the CD, but if you want one to maybe play, I would suggest Too Much Love for One Bed.
Well, that's a good one. Yeah, I was going to probably close out the show with the Dog Beach Boogie, but I love that one as well. And I also was hoping to get to, like, If My Dog Could Talk. I mean, there's a bunch of cool ones on
there. Oh,
right?
There is. I also like An Old Dog Song because I had the love of my life, Shadow, lived to be 18 and a half years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's a neat song about the years you spend with your aging dog.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's a really cool song. That was another one. And
yeah,
again, I'm going to, you know, even though this hour is devoted to Kirk and the CD and the interview, but, you know, I've already played some dog songs on previous shows, and I'll be working in others over the next few because, yeah, it's chock full of really cool songs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he was good, and there was a nice crowd that really seemed to enjoy him. And
great.
And I got him to sign the CD on his picture of him and his two dogs and
his
guitar.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, so it was a nice experience. So thank you very much for letting me know about that event.
Absolutely, and see that you can attest to our other listeners. That's the fun of playing Name That Animal Tune, which we're about to do now, because you won a previous week and you got a copy of Kirk's CD, and you know, life's been grand ever since.
Yeah, you're a great guy, Duncan, and a great show, and thank you very much for being on the air.
Oh, absolutely, and thank you so much for calling, and keep listening, and keep telling people to join us here on Talking Animals.
I will.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, cool. Laura from San Diego area, and obviously a new Kirk Olson fan. So, again, so let's name that animal tune. Again, it's, yeah, we'll play a little snippet. You'll recognize the song with any luck. And, again, it'll be a brief snippet because that's the way the game's played. And also, you know, whenever we're doing this, we don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. But with that preamble behind us, and also noting there's always a prize, as Laura can attest. Did he say prize? Yes, he did. And so there's all kinds of prizes, including we have another copy of Kirk's CD to give away, but another number of other things you can choose from as well. And so if you recognize the tune, give us a call, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started, and I'll even give you a bit of a hint. I'm extending the dog theme into this round of the game. So it's Talking Animals, KUCI. See if you know this one.
I remember to this day the bright red Georgia clay and how it stuck to the tide. Will power be that old cargo? A woman's mind told me that so. Oh, how.
All right, well, that should be plenty. If you know the song, it's plenty. And if you don't, you don't. So, anyway. Either way, we've reached the end and then some of this hour of Talking Animals. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Laura for calling. Anyone else who even thought about calling, we want to thank them too. And again, I want to emphasize that any and all views and opinions and other information expressed here on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the UC Board of Regents. I also want to thank our guest, Kirk Olson. And again, his website is dogsongs.net to get your very own copy of the Dog Song CD. And I want to thank you again for listening. And I hope you'll join me again next week. But more immediately, I hope you'll join me next hour, this hour, the hour we're easing into, in fact. Where we'll be speaking with Sunny Benedict, a truly remarkable woman who founded the Baja Animal Sanctuary just over the Mexican border near Rosarita Beach. Of course, we'll also have more animal songs. And, of course, the Comedy Corner and Name That Animal Tune and all kinds of other stuff. So that's coming up momentarily. And again, we're at 949-824-5824. It's KUCI in Irvine. And I think we'll move right into a dog song. One more dog song. That's the only way to go. Is it not? I think so. All right. This is Kirk Olson with the Dog Beach Boogie. It's KUCI Talking Animals. Stay tuned for another hour coming up right behind this this dog song.
Delma, California, there's a beach where the dogs are free to run without a leash. I see them racing across the sand, they're swimming in the sea, they're playing with their balls. Oh, there ain't a better place to be to do the Dog Beach Boogie. It's the Dog Beach Boogie. It's a dance I'm sure your dog is sure to know. First he crouches on down, jumps back up, stays around and sniffs a butt. He does the Dog Beach Boogie until his owner says it's time to go. The dogs, they have more fun than me or you, because people stand around without a clue about how to make a friend by sniffing their rear end. Spin around and around and then sniffing it again. They're doing the Dog Beach Boogie. It's the Dog Beach Boogie. It's a dance I'm sure your dog is sure to know. First he crouches on down, jumps back up, spins around and sniffs a butt. He does Dog Beach Boogie until his owner says it's time to go. Well, bring your dog on down, but please prepare with plenty of plastic bags to show you care.
'cause it's such a drag to find what your dog has left behind. By stepping in the wrong place at exactly the wrong time, you'll do the dog beach boogie. It's the dog beach boogie. It's a dance I'm sure your dog is sure to know. First you crouch on down, jump back up, spin around and sniff a butt. He does a dog beach boogie until his owner says it's time to go. It's time to go.
All right, that's Kirk Olson with the Dog Beach Boogie from Dog Song CD that we heard about in the last hour, Talking Animals. It's 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. This show is called Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and we're now moving in, or actually squarely in, partially in, partly in, somehow in, the hour we normally occupy for the show. First hour we sat in for Serena Sharp, who will then be back next week. She's on vacation, and good for her. So Serena Sharp Show will be back, usual time, usual slot, usual host, next week, 8 to 9 on Mondays. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, we really strive to learn all about animals in different ways, animal issues, from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources, but we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, like Kirk Olson's CD, and at some point I'll reveal the Name That Animal tune from last hour. No one seemed to know that, or guess, or call it, but keep you in suspense for a bit longer. But, we're looking for that kind of balance to celebrate as well, through music, comedy, other means. And this is the ninth installment, really, of Talking Animals, and we've been really fortunate to have kind of a cool range of terrific guests, including Ralph Helfer, legendary figure in the animal world, pioneer in the area of affection training, fantastic veterinarian Dr. Mary Sebsta, who addressed the controversial Consumer Reports article on the previous issue, Consumer Reports, all about vet practices and prices. We've also chatted with Deanna Foff-Martin, who founded two wonderful Newport Beach-based organizations that collectively rescue cats and dogs, function as sort of a foster care / adoption agency, and help cover all the vet, food, and other costs involved in the process. We've also spoken with Greg Ginn from the legendary punk rock band Black Flag, whose chief passion is helping rescue feral and other homeless cats. In fact, he agreed to do two Black Flag reunion concerts at the Hollywood Palladium in September under the condition that the shows are benefits for several cat rescue organizations. We've also featured a conversation with a filmmaker whose company, Tribute Films, has developed a subspecialty that involves making films about the animals that live with us, so-called pet tributes, the wonderfully named Sebastian Doggart. We've also spoken with Jane Cartmill of San Diego Animal Advocates, discussing the recent decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to reissue permits to the San Diego Wild Animal Park, allowing the facility to import wild African elephants from Swaziland. And that's the first such move of African elephants to a North American zoo in 15 years. Last week, we had an informative, at times upsetting, and necessarily so, chat about the plight of circus animals with longtime activist and founder of Last Chance for Animals, Krista Rose. Last hour, the show, of course, revolved around an interview and music from Kirk Olson, a gifted singer-songwriter who's released a CD of 12 canine-centric tunes called Dog Song. So clearly here at Talking Animals, we're trying to hit a broad array of guests, a varied mix spanning all regions of the animal world. In that vein, we're delighted this hour to bring you an interview with Sunny Benedict, a remarkable woman who founded the Baja Animal Sanctuary just over the Mexican border near Rosarito Beach. An undertaking that, as you might imagine, has posed some singular challenges and still does. And not entirely coincidentally, there's a fundraising event this Sunday for Baja Animal Sanctuary involving a comedy show at a winery in Temecula. Sounds fabulous. I'll be there. Recommend that you will be too, but we'll get into all that, including all the details of the benefit, in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly, or just today, hourly, maybe, look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss, announcements, events, observations, and of course any comments you have about past shows here on Talking Animals, news stories you may have spotted, I think we should talk about or have called to our attention. And if you happen to attend the any part of the Animal Rights 2000 West Conference up at the Westin by LAX and have any comments, reactions, thoughts on that you'd like to share, that'd be most welcome. It all would be at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So let's turn now to interesting or important developments recently, or in some cases things that are coming up as their events, in the animal news front. Typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We always also try to include a few announcements, upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar if you haven't already done so. And if there are ever news stories or announcements or things you'd like to otherwise bring to our attention, not necessarily by phone for whatever reason, you're welcome to email those to us at talkinganimals@aol.com, and that's also the place to love to encourage you to send comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. It's again talkinganimals@aol.com. Meanwhile, as we like to say, let's talk turkey. Want to once again just put a plug in for people who might have the time and ability and schedule to head out to Tiger Rescue in Colton, which is sort of broad strokes kind of out by Ontario, this side of San Bernardino. It's the facility that's been in the news periodically for the unfortunate circumstance of the facility itself, but more to the point, the treatment of the, and neglect of the animals there, including dozens of tigers and other big cats and assorted other animals. Anyways, the proprietor is facing criminal charges. That's underway in the court system. But meanwhile, those animals still live there, and although some were just moved last week, which was a huge, huge exciting development. But there's still plenty of them there. And there's a wonderful man named Chuck Tracy who's been overseeing the operation, stepped in from his own facility, the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona down by San Diego, to oversee the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue. And he's been there 2+ months at this point, away from his own facility, away from his wife, Cindy, and anyways, an amazing man. And again, someone we hope to have on the show shortly. But at any rate, they do need volunteers, and you go out and you help, you clean enclosures, you shovel, you water, you clean food dishes and water dishes, and then you feed the various animals. There's some other non-big cat animals there too, including some pigs and a really nice cow and fallow deer, and it's really cool. It's not for sissies. I mean, it's hot out there, and it's hard work, but it's good work, and I highly recommend it. I've been out there not nearly as much as I would like, but I hope to get out there again. But any help you could provide in that way, weekdays, of course, particularly if they need help, weekends are great too. Just email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. I'll be happy to hook you up and get you out there, and it'll be one of the coolest days of your life, I can assure you. Along those lines, Chuck and Cindy's, again, facility that they normally look after, the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, is having on this Friday a golf tournament fundraiser. The deadline for the entries for the golf tournament had passed. That was on August 1st. But I just recommend that you just drop a check in the mail to them regardless, either for the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center and or for Tiger Rescue. You know, just all the food and everything else every day at Tiger Rescue is, I just can't even imagine what the sum has added up to there. So for either purpose or both, drop a check to the Fund for Animals, Inc. at 18740 Highland Valley Road in Ramona, California. The zip code is 92065. Again, you can always check back with us by phone or by email if you didn't catch that or any of the other details. Also, this Sunday, something that's fun and great, but again, for a great animal cause as well, it's Comedy in the Vineyards at the Ponte Winery in Temecula. And it's going to be at 5:30. That's this Sunday. It'll be a box dinner. It'll be at a gorgeous winery. And three great comedians, Ian Bagg, Dan Lewis, and Tom Ryan, whose credits include The Tonight Show, David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, Comedy Central, funny, funny guys. And there's also going to be a raffle and all kinds of other cool activities. But more to the point, all the proceeds from this event benefit the Baja Animal Sanctuary, which is not entirely coincidentally subject of our show, or portion of our show. Will be interviewing Sonny Benedict, the founder of Baja Animal Sanctuary, shortly, momentarily, in fact, probably. If you can't get to it, maybe drop a check. For information on the comedy show, Comedy in the Vineyards, you can call 909-587-6611. You can also go to the Baja Animal Sanctuary website at www.bajadogs.org, and there's a banner about that and how you can go, and you get tickets at the door. It's going to be great. If you can't make it, especially after you hear the interview, Sonny, maybe you'll still feel inclined to go down and help out, or drop a check in the mail, or donate some food, or anyways. But we'll get into that shortly, momentarily. In fact, we may largely skip the rest of our animal news segment. If we have time at the end, we'll come back to that. But I do want to get into Sonny's interview shortly. So while we prepare for that, let's step right into the comedy corner, though. This is Brian Regan. It's Talking Animals, KUCI.
I like watching fishing on TV. You ever? That'll make you worry about yourself. You ever watch fishing on TV for like 15 minutes and then just go, boy, I better get a life. I'm watching fishing. I'm not even fishing. I'm watching fishing. Too lazy to fish. I'm taping fishing to watch again later. Come on over, I got a fishing tape. No, a new one. And at the end of the fishing show, they roll credits. There are like 90 people involved with the two guys fishing. What are they all doing? And one of the credits is film editor, this poor guy. He's got to watch all the footage. It's not exciting enough to make it into that final show. That's got to be hell. He's got to sit there all day just going, no, 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 no. Fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Oh. Mm-mm, no. That was just the worm, when you put the worm. And I saw this credit at the end of the fishing show. I'm not making this up. Writer! I swear, there's a writer for the fishing show? What's he writing?
Ooh, she's a beauty.
Typing it out. Zing! Guy's got to worry about his lines. Finally catches a fish. You have a line. Oh, it's a fish, and it's a beauty. He's a beauty fish. Fish is beauty. He's in a fish and a beauty fish! He's a fish and beauty fish! All right, caught. You okay, man? You need some water? Are you all right? I couldn't do it any better.
All right, that's Brian Regan on KUCI. It's Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and that was his bit, Fishing on TV, taken from his collection simply entitled Live. The Comedy Corner is a weekly feature of Talking Animals, and we are always on the lookout for cool animal-oriented comedy bits. So if you have any ideas, suggestions on those, again, feel free to email us at talkinganimals@aol.com. And meanwhile, I want to get right into our interview with Sonny Benedict. As I mentioned earlier, a little bit about her. She's an American who several years ago relocated to Rosarito Beach and subsequently founded the Baja Animal Sanctuary there. But as I think you'll find, she tells the story much much better than I could, or than I could even paraphrase. So let's get to right in to our conversation with Sunny. This was recorded on Thursday. And so now on the phone from Baja Animal Sanctuary in Rosarito Beach, Mexico, here's Sunny Benedict on Talking Animals. Okay, let's please welcome to Talking Animals, Sunny Benedict. Hi, Sunny. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Very well, and I appreciate you joining us from Mexico, no less. And in fact, you know, while the focus, of course, of our conversation will be about Baja Animal Sanctuary, let's sort of start at the beginning or get a bit of context. How long have you been in the Rosarito area?
Well, actually, I've lived down here in Mexico for about 11 years.
And what sort of took you down there, and from whence did you come?
Well, I came originally from Orange County, the Yorba Linda area.
Okay.
And I moved down here to put my daughter in school in Mexico. I thought perhaps a little change of scenery and a reality check would be good for her. While she was in school, I began working in real estate in Rosarito.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I became aware of the horrendous problem with the animals in the street.
So was that fairly early on in your time having moved down there, or was it sort of?
Well, actually, it took me a couple of years to get a handle on everything that was happening, and I did some investigation after moving here to see if there were any other rescue groups around,
mm-hmm.
and I could only find one, and that was up in Tecate near the border.
And had you been involved in animal rescue or other kinds of things when you were still living in Orange County? Or?
Just on a personal level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing serious.
But I take it that what you saw down there, you sort of felt like you needed to take action.
Oh, well, yeah. Somebody had to jump in. I mean, there's no place here for the animals. There's no rescue system. The only system in place here is what they call the Pereira, or dog pound.
Okay.
And once the animal gets to the dog pound, he probably doesn't see the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I had a feeling that's where you were going with
yeah,
that.
It's
yeah.
pretty bad.
Yeah. And so what struck you? Was there something sort of, in particular, like a specific scene or moment where you said, if nobody's going to do this, and if this doesn't exist elsewhere, I've got to do it? Or was it kind of more cumulative, having seen a number of things?
Well, I saw so many things going on. I saw the overpopulation of animals in the street, the puppies wandering around, the illness of the animals, starving. It was just a whole accumulation of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing all the American people that were living here complaining about it, but not taking any action. And that was what really floored me.
Yeah.
Because they had come here to probably relax and retire,
mm-hmm.
and just didn't want to get their hands dirty.
Sure, even though they were concerned, their concern, I guess, only went so far at that point.
Exactly.
Hmm. And so what were your first steps then, once you said, okay, well, look, it doesn't exist, and these folks are nice enough, but they're not going to do it, so it's up to me. How did you kind of take those first steps?
Well, I put an ad in the local paper down here,
mm-hmm.
Simply saying, animal lovers interested in forming sanctuary, please contact me. I believe at our first meeting we had 18 people attend. 16 of them were American citizens living down here.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were local Mexican people. We kind of sat around and tossed out different ideas, and that was the beginning of what really snowballed.
And just so we kind of have a sense of chronology, when was that first meeting after placing that ad, Sunny?
That was in 1996.
Okay. And then what sort of happened from there after those first 18 folks that turned up?
Well, we decided in order to get by with this and do it properly, we needed to become legal. So we applied to the Mexican government for our nonprofit status in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
which gave us the permission to go ahead and start rescuing animals, neutering and spaying, and providing a safe haven for them.
Sure.
And that paperwork came through from Mexico City in 1997.
Okay. So that's kind of the more marks the official launch then of Baja Animal Sanctuary?
It was about March of 1997.
Okay. So then, once you were official and legal, what really sort of happened from there in terms of practically speaking?
Well, then we kind of scrambled because it was like, okay, we've got our paperwork, and all of us at the time, all the people involved, were kind of fostering animals in their homes, mm-hmm. trying to get this thing underway. So we started running around trying to find a place where we could actually set up, and we received promises from the city to get a piece of land. That never materialized. Quite by accident, while roaming around in the hills one day, I came across an old ranch, and the owner of the ranch happened to be there, and he agreed to rent the property to the sanctuary.
Wow, and what was he just immediately sort of sympathetic, or was he a big animal lover? How did
neither. He was in need of money.
I see. Okay, much more practical level.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's kind of how you got the first, you know, facility, as it were. I guess might be overstating the case, but to set up the sanctuary.
Yeah, and we're still on the same property. He would very much like us to leave because he'd like to subdivide the land and make some more money on his property up there, but he has us into a lease agreement that he can't break at this point in time.
I see.
So, but it's not a good situation. We really need to find a good piece of land and put a permanent facility, something that the people here and our members in the U.S. can be proud of.
Well, I certainly want to, you know, get more into kind of the history and evolution, but just to kind of pick up on that point for a moment, I mean, what would it require? I mean, certainly no dollars are going to be part of this answer, but what would it require to get a permanent facility that would be better for the animals and just better to function day to day?
Well, the price of the land down here is horrendous. I believe it's because we're so close to the border.
Mm.
I've talked to another group that's trying to set up something down in the San Felipe area, and they were able to purchase 6 acres for $5,000. Here, without any services provided, namely telephone, water, all the good stuff that you need to operate, to buy maybe 2 acres of land is close to $300,000.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And so you say that's just a product of being where it is, close to the border, other factors. I mean, because that's
that's
pricey by any standard, and you know, I think probably more than anyone would have guessed, and a shocking contrast to the San Felipe.
Right.
Wow.
It's the only reason I can come up with, probably because we are so close to the U.S. border.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So is that then sort of for now kind of stymied any efforts to really kind of, you know, obtain a...
Unfortunately, yes. The sanctuary doesn't have that type of funding.
Yeah.
I keep running around looking at property, and it's always the same old story. I think basically down here when they see an American woman running around, they smell money and figured, well, you know, there's money to be had with this, so let's go for the high dollar. And that's not the case at all. The sanctuary is operating on a very minimal budget.
And I guess even, you know, given that what you just described, that the fact that this is for a, you know, very specific purpose and it's got nonprofit status, that doesn't, you know, prompt people to even, you know, think about giving any sort of break on real estate prices, et cetera. It sounds like people are just, you know, pretty inflexible on that level.
Yeah, there's really no big concern for the animals down here.
Mm.
It's a very unfortunate situation, and there's no way to gain their sympathy. I have not met too many local Mexican people that have any sympathy toward the animals down here.
Wow. All right, well, maybe that gives an opportunity to just sort of back up a little bit and sort of pick up where we left off on kind of the timeline and chronology of things. So you've got, you know, you worked out an arrangement with the guy for the ranch. How many animals did you kind of start when the very beginning of Baja Animal Sanctuary was launched?
Well, probably within the first week, we had 60 animals at the sanctuary.
Wow.
Yeah. Our average population today, combined dogs and cats, is usually around 500 at all times.
Any given day?
Any given day.
Holy cow. Wow. And so what kind of help do you have? And I mean, especially in those early days, let's just sort of, you know, kind of take it from there. So it was as many as 60 in the first week. And I assume, or at least hope, that some of those 18 folks that turned up at that kind of initial meeting were there to help deal with those numbers. I imagine people didn't necessarily anticipate those kind of numbers initially, or did they?
No, I don't think they did. I was prepared for it, but I don't think that they did. I think it was all very overwhelming for all of them. And actually, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just going on a wing and a prayer.
Sure.
And I had a friend tell me that I wouldn't make it through the first year because he said all the love in the world is not enough. And I said, well, you know what? It's going to have to be because that's all I've got.
Yeah. Somebody has to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And did those people, you know, even if they were a little caught off guard, did they, I mean, people in that situation either can, you know, kind of step up, or did you find people were sort of just fortified themselves and just went for it the way that you had kind of decided to do? Or did you find some of those initial supporters kind of...
No, the initial supporters kind of fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was early burnout. It was more than they expected.
Yeah.
I would say out of those initial supporters, I'm still in contact with probably two of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so apart from sort of volunteer slash personnel slash staffing, what would you say some of the biggest challenges have been sort of in the ensuing years?
Well,
I'm sure that's a long list.
It's been a hard, hard climb trying to explain to the Mexican people that castrating an animal is not cruel. What is cruel is to have an animal have puppies over and over again and put those puppies in the street.
Yeah.
That's been a very hard thing for me to get across to them.
So that's just a basic cultural kind of understanding or potentially lack of understanding that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in a country where they don't support abortion, that large families are encouraged, and they think that this is just a natural part of nature. I mean, it's got to proceed. Everybody has to have babies constantly.
Yeah.
And I can pretty much convince them to stay a female, but when it comes to neutering a male, that's a whole different issue.
Wow. That is, again, very culturally specific.
Yeah, and then we've got an American woman trying to tell them that what they're doing is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a bit of resentment going there, too.
Sure.
And most of the politicians down here that hold any type of title, either on a local level or federal level, are men.
Mm-hmm.
And so they resent having to deal with an American woman, even if it does make a change within the city. It's just, it's a cultural thing.
Wow. So this sounds like it really makes for a ongoing battle of you know, pretty sizable shape, just to sort of be up against that kind of every day, every week, every month. It's-